Hello and welcome to Parsha for Non-Rebbetzins, where we spend up to 5 minutes discussing Parshas Hashavua, so you don't come to the table thinking, wait, what Parsha is it this week? We'll start with a brief recap of the Parsha and then move on to a short thought. I'm Esther Kurtz, your resident non-Rebbetzin, and let's do this.
Parsha Shelach is one of those Parshios that you want to fast forward through. You know what happens, and as you read through it, you're like, don't do that. Anywho, the Parsha starts off with the Meraglim, the spies being sent to Eretz Yisrael to scout the land. And you know what happened. They came back with a mixed report. The land is great, but the people are giants, as is the produce. We can't win, said all the Meraglim, save Yehoshua and Kalev. Bnei Yisrael, upon hearing this, cried all night, wishing that they were back in Mitzrayim. Hashem, in turn, wanted to wipe them all out, but Moshe's tefillos swayed Hashem instead to allow this generation to not enter Eretz Yisrael, and instead they would all die in the Midbar, where they are now destined to wander for 40 years. The 10 Meraglim died immediately. When Bnei Yisrael heard their punishment, they were obviously very upset, and a group of them decided to try to enter Eretz Yisrael by themselves. But Moshe warned them that they were doomed to fail, because Hashem had never said so. V'kachaya. They were killed by the Amalekim and the Canaanites. The Parsha then discusses Nechasim, a type of carbon, and we learn about Hafreshes Challah. Next up is the Mekoshes Eitzim, the man who gathered wood on Shabbos, the first person to be Mechal Shabbos, and he is stoned. Lastly, the Parsha says to wear tzitzis so we remember Hashem and the mitzvos. And that's the Parsha. Let's move on to a quick fart. This one is brought to you by Reb Shimon Schwab. So Rashi asks, what is the connection between the end of last week's Parsha, Miriam saying Lashon Hara, and her subsequent Saras, and this week's Parsha with the Meraglim? And Rashi says, it's a gnai, a shame, on the Meraglim that they didn't learn from Miriam, who spoke Lashon Hara. Now, this is not so simple. Miriam spoke straight up Lashon Hara, and the Meraglim, while, yes, they were fear-mongers, but Eretz Yisrael is an inanimate object. You can't speak Lashon Hara on a thing. It doesn't really add up in terms of lesson learning. So if you go back to last week's Parsha, where it talks about Miriam saying Lashon Hara, it says right after, Be'ish Moshe haya anav mikal adam. Moshe was the biggest anav there ever was, which is a really beautiful sentiment. But why is it bringing mention now? Wouldn't it make more sense to say this in Devarim when it talks all about Moshe? And this is where the brilliant insight is. Moshe was such an anav. He was a vessel completely devoid of ego. What's the problem with talking Lashon Hara? Part of it is that you're hurting someone's feeling, their sense of self, their ego. But Moshe was in a place where he felt none of that. Talking Lashon Hara about Moshe was like talking Lashon Hara about an object and land, like Eretz Yisrael. So yes, the Meraglim should have known better and learned from Miriam, because she also spoke Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. I love this part for the chap and for the insight it gives you on what anivus really is. Have a beautiful Shabbos. See you next Parsha.
Have questions or comments? Email me at emunah4nr@gmail.com. That's emunah, 4nr@gmail.com.